If you are using those Bibles, it's on page 724. So that's Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jonah. Hello, my name is Thomas. I'm one of the pastors in Grace Point. And tonight's a great privilege that I can start a new series, which we'll be looking on Luke. But before I start, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you, I pray I can speak truthfully on Luke chapter 9. I pray that our hearts will listen to your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Denmark, there's a lot of famous things to see. From the Little Mermaid statue, the Royal Palace, and of course my favorite, the Legoland. But in the city, there's a bridge which goes nowhere, as you can see in the picture. There's nothing wrong with the foundation, nothing wrong with the workmanship, but it doesn't go anywhere, and no one is working on it. I've been told it's been more than a decade, and the worst thing about it, there's actually no plans to finish it. It's just so strange as you walk around the city and you see unfinished bridge. So imagine having a bridge like this in the rocks in the Sydney CBD. It would just look ugly. Some things in life you just can't half finish, as it needs to be followed through. Like a haircut, it needs to be completed before you walk out of the barber. You don't walk out halfway through a movie. And that's the same if you watch a Korean drama, unless it's really bad. But you watch all the episode until it finishes. In any kind of sports like Oztag or basketball that some of you guys play, the team doesn't walk out halfway through the game. Even when you're losing. Because if you do, you're just a sore loser. And some of you guys might be mortgaging a unit, a house. You can't tell the bank, "I'm halfway through my payment. I don't want to pay it anymore." What will happen? The bank will reprocess the unit, will take the unit away from you, or the house. And tonight, it's about following Jesus all the way. And you can't follow Jesus part of the way. But following Jesus will have a cost. But before I continue with this passage, let's have a quick look at what had happened before chapter 9, verse 51. Before chapter 9, Jesus was doing miracles, casting out demons and healing the sick. People were amazed. But there was still one deep question people were asking. And they were asking, who was this man, Jesus? And in chapter 9, we could see some major events had happened. Peter confesses that Jesus as the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, in verse 18 to 19. And then Jesus foretold about his death in verse 21 and 34. And then the transfiguration took place in verse 28 to 36. With all this happening in chapter 9, we see Jesus' ministry has changed direction. We read in verse 51, Jesus' ministry was to head towards Jerusalem, as the prophet Zechariah had proclaimed that the king will come to Jerusalem in chapter 9, verse 9, with a donkey. And we can also read this in other Gospels, in John chapter 12, verse 12 to 15, and Matthew 21. Basically, Jesus was heading towards the people of Israel, God's chosen people. The day has come. Someone greater than Abraham, who was known by the Hebrew people, the Jew people, as the great forefathers of the nation. A Messiah who would take over the role of the prophet Moses. And a king from David's line would take his spot as the new king of Israel. The new ruler has come. But before Jesus heads to Jerusalem, read that in verse 52, he sends messengers ahead. He went to the Samaritan village. And the messengers were most likely to get some equipment and food for the journey to Jerusalem. But we read the Samaritan people were not happy with Jesus. So we see in verse 52 to 56, the rejection of Jesus by the Samaritan village. Now we need to understand the background, the history of why this might have happened. Because the Samaritan village didn't like people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Because of what was happening, what had happened in the past and probably happening in Jesus' time, where the Israelites, the Jews, treated Samaritan people as half-breeds, lower class citizens, because they're not pure Jews. So that when the Samaritan people found out where Jesus was planning to go, which was to the city of Jerusalem, they of course did not welcome the messengers, as Jerusalem was where the most Jewish people had lived. And how did James and John respond to the Samaritan village, treating of them, to the messengers? They respond with harsh words, which is in verse 54. Lord, Lord, do you want us to call fire from heaven to destroy them? And how did Jesus respond to John and to James? Jesus rebuked them. The author Luke did not record down what Jesus has said to the disciples, but we know it wasn't a time of judgment, as Jesus' ministry was still at work. It was a time to respond in grace as Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem. A time for people to see God's grace given to all people. So we read that the Samaritan village had rejected Jesus' messengers and they didn't want them anything to do with them. Since the rejection, Jesus and his disciples, they leave for another village. And with this event, you start to see that being a follower of Jesus might mean you need to face rejection. you become the outsider. But this event only briefly touches on what it means to follow Jesus. As with this, Jesus then talks about the cost of following him in the rest of tonight's passage. In the rest of Luke chapter 9, we get warnings from Jesus, which is the cost of following him. A warning to people who want to follow Jesus, that they need to be set apart from the world. A warning of those who want to be missionaries for the gospel, that many will reject him because of the gospel. And we can see this in verse 57 to 62. Following Jesus will come with a cost, as we're told to proclaim the kingdom of God. As we have read these verses, we can see three different persons' response to Jesus. And let's have a look at these response. The first man, verse 57 to 58. Jesus responds back to the man who wanted to follow Jesus wherever he went, wherever he go. Jesus responds by saying he really don't have a home in this world if he wants to follow him. There's no place on earth which be his home. No place to rest. To follow Jesus was not to be part of this world, because people will reject him. People may see him as an outcast or just won't accept him because of Jesus. Jesus gave a hard and real challenge back to the man. Did he now really want to follow him and go wherever he went, where Jesus went? And you know what? This is also a good question for us. To follow Christ is to deny the world, knowing there's going to be always a time when your friends is going to reject you. The way you live out your life for Christ, what you believe and your value in life. There's going to be a time where you're going to be an outcast at work because of your values and your belief. It's going to be a time where you're going to be the outsider at uni or college because you decide to go to a Christian group and not hanging with them. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you must realize that you will be a stranger in this world and you might not fit in, because you need to remember your home is not on earth as a follower of Christ. And this means you need to trust God and know that your home is with him when the time comes. Let's go to the second man, verse 59 to 60. We see that man gave a reasonable request to bury his father. But Jesus responds back by saying, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus' answer looks pretty harsh one. But this is not the first time Jesus had made this kind of comment. Jesus has previously commented about his parents and said not to worry about them. We can see this in Matthew chapter 12. Verse 46 to 50. A man had asked Jesus, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Knowing that his mother, Jesus' mother, and probably his half-brother would be listening or sitting around, and Jesus answers. Jesus says to the man, here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever who does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. What a kick in the gut if you were Mary and heard Jesus answer that? But Jesus responds, well, may some of your parents give him the death stare. It's a pretty dishonest thing to say, you might say. But so, Jesus is not telling you to diss your parents or reject your family. You are still to love them. But to follow Christ means to put God first. Put his kingdom first. It's not an easy choice, especially if you come from a home where you have been told to put your family first. You are to honor and respect your elders, especially in the Asian context. My grandma used to always tell me, blood is thicker than water. Meaning, family are to come first in your decision making. However, Jesus is telling us not to continue to look at the present, which is your physical family, but to look at the future, which is God's kingdom. So what Jesus is saying is to put God first in your life, in all circumstances. This is what you need to do if you are to follow Christ. Only a couple of weeks ago, the University of Harvard had closed down a Christian group. The Christian group was given a one-year ban. It's not allowed to be on campus for that 1 year. This is because they had stepped down a female leader who was open up that she has another lover who was a female. So she got stepped down. But the university had told the Christian group that they were not right. And as a result, they had a disagreement on it. So the university closed down the group for a year. So we see that the Christian group placed God's rules first and God's authority first before the university's wishes. It would have been easier for the Christian group to just follow the university rules and not to be shut down. And we may also like to put God second sometimes. You know, put God second instead of walking down the hard path. For example, you focus on your uni degree and just listen to your parents and stop all ministries at church and not using your gift for the church. Basically pulling parents or your studies above God. Or focusing on your career and wanting that management position. And that means late nights, missing community groups and church for the next 6 months due to work commitment. Putting work above God and his kingdom. Because it's so easy to put these things above God. In fact, God is the one who gave you that work, a university to go to in the first place. Remember the blessings from God, and we need to take this with responsibility, and it's our duty of care. But these blessings from God should not take us away from God. And this is what Jesus is really saying to the man. Ask him to follow him. We need to remember, Jesus is not saying, don't care for your parents and let them rot, because that's not a loving thing to do. But Jesus is making the point to show that man the extent it takes to commit to follow him. To commit to be his disciple. The commitment is putting God first before the family. As the man replies in verse 59, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. However, Jesus replies, the man should instead be committed to the proclaiming the kingdom of God, in verse 60. The third man, the last man, verse 61 to 62. And once again, Jesus' response seems to be pretty harsh, in your face type of answer. So if you look back and say goodbye to your family, then you are not worthy to follow him, in verse 61. Now I will be in trouble, because that's what I did before I came here. I said bye to Mary and my kids. But once again, we need to understand the responsibility, the response from Jesus. And we need to look at the context of this passage. In order to know what verse 61 and 62 really means. Now in verse 61, Jesus talks about the image of plowing a field and the farmer not looking back. And when a person plows a field, it's very dangerous, in fact, to look back, as a person will need to focus on what's in front of them, him or her, at that time. Because the farmer may be knocked off course when he or she is looking back while plowing. It's like driving a car in the freeway, 100 k's per hour. You wouldn't be turning your head and looking back, as you need to focus. You see, focus on the road and what's coming ahead of you. Well, that's why you got mirrors, right? But hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say. And in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, we know a lot of stories about people which look back. Like Lot's wife, who looked back at the city when it was being destroyed in Genesis. And what happened? She was turned to salt for looking back. And also the nation of Israel, where God used Moses to free them from slavery in Egypt. But the nation looked back to Egypt, and grumbled about being away from Egypt. You can read that in Exodus. And that generation of people who never entered the promised land because they grumbled against God. Well, Jesus is telling the man, if you really want to follow him, he should not look back to the past or hang on the old ways of living, as he needs to fully give his work to the ministry of God and his kingdom. And this is old desires, your old pleasures, your flesh, not to look back the old ways of life before you become a follower of Jesus. Not to live the same life before Jesus came to your life, to my life. And if you put Jesus first in your life, people in fact should see your life should be changing. Especially people who haven't seen you for a while. There should be a transformation in your life. A change in your attitude in life and your purpose in life. Your character and your behavior in life. Just as the power of the gospel has changed you and now and continue to change you in the future, you are not to turn back to your old ways of life. Not to look back and to keep seeking what the world tells you what you need to have. Since you are reborn into kingdom of God, when following of Christ, you need to look back at God's work now. Let me tell you a story. At the beginning, most of you guys would know that this church has sent a short-term mission team and myself to Thailand to do God's work. While on mission, we met a pastor called P.M.E. P.M.E. studied in the U.S. and became a Christian. But he came back home. And he wanted to stay. To give up his lifestyle, his career in America. He could have chosen the easy option and stay in America and live a life in America. And once in a while, give money to the local pastors for the ministry, for the church, But he didn't, as he wanted to serve God in his hometown, which in fact had changed for the worse since he had left. It was spiritually dark, and not just from Buddhist religion. There was lots of gangs and drugs. Even he had a culture shock coming back to his home village. That's how bad it was. And as a reborn Christian, he wanted to stay, to preach the gospel to the children. He lives off the land and farms his own food. He has no wages, no income, no financial help from missionaries' organization. So what he gets from the crop is what he eats, what his family eats, what his children eat. He's basically a tent maker, as he provides his own wage and food by turning the gospel to people for free. Pimi serves God by teaching them to play soccer. And he serves as a coach for the kids at his local church where he used to go as a child. It is his opportunity for him to proclaim Jesus to the kids and to get them out of gangs and drugs. He doesn't want to look back how he used to live in America. He wants to proclaim Jesus and the lost kids for God's kingdom. He wants to be the light in a place where there is no light at all, only darkness. So what Jesus is really saying about being his disciple is we cannot hang on to our old life, our past life of desires. But instead, we need to head forward as Jesus' disciples. So as Christians, we're told not to look back at the way we used to live. Look forward and look at God's kingdom ahead. Tonight, the takeaway point, if you haven't got it, it's about following Jesus. Following Jesus by carrying a cross. As disciples of God's people and followers of Christ, how should we view our life? How can we be different to our friends in this world? How can we stand out? What are some ways where we can put God first? To put God first, we must seek Him. Read His words. Read God's words. That's how you put God first. And this may mean you may need to free 1 hour of your time of video games, YouTubing, maybe on the train, on the bus as we travel to work or college. We may consider stopping web searching, Facebooking or Snapchat, and start reading a Christian book about work, an article about mercy ministry, an article about discipleship making, or open the Bible, do your quiet times, or using your app. A friend of mine, who's a worker, is married, has 2 kids, meaning she has to drop them off and pick them up. And after that, she has to cook dinner. And then after that, sitting down with the kids, doing their homework, making sure they're doing their homework. I fully understand that, because my son would cheat. If I don't look, he would cheat. And with all this happening, she still has time to serve the church as well. But every week, she would spend time sitting in a coffee shop and spend time with God without a fail. Without a fail. And this person reminds us, as Christians, we are to build our hope around God's word first. Putting our life, our energy, and our time for Him because of His loving grace for us. Another thing to follow God is not to pursue what the world pursues or aims for. I know living in sin is not easy. And yes, I think one of the biggest struggles in living in Sydney is stuff. Materialism, capitalism, and the fear of missing out. Chasing the next big thing coming from out from our society. Especially when your non-Christian friends are able to achieve it, able to get that object. You want it too. Are you willing to give that up? Not to follow the achievements of the world, but to follow Jesus with all your heart. Are you willing to carry the cross and not follow what the world desires? To be different. Not chasing stuff, but being content with what you have. Because God will provide what you need, what I need, and not what you think you need. And last thing for tonight is to look forward in our Christian walk and not turn back to your old style of life. We need to stop looking back at our past wrongs, the things that we might not be proud of, or even the things which we are struggling right now. We could be burnt out by our past or the resentment that we have from others. Not to look at the past, how we have been treated by our school friends, our work colleagues, and even our parents. So one way to look forward is the assurance we have in Christ. We need to look forward to what He has done for us in the past, in the present, and the future. And by doing this, it will help us to keep looking forward. And one way to keep looking forward is to grow in our ministry skills. And some of us have been to Next Gen Conference. Some are currently doing Emerging Leaders. Why not look forward to doing other things that you may learn and teach you with your ministry skills at church? You might want to change yourself by doing other ministries and serve others in church. In fact, maybe do a Bible college course, one subject, to continue to equip yourself for the work of the gospel. And if you're not sure where to start, ask your leaders. Ask Eugene, myself. We're happy to give you some challenges and how you can grow yourself in God's kingdom's work. But let's all look forward and encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. As we follow Christ, let's put our old self away and put our new self, our new life, which is carrying the cross, and to look at the future to come, which is your kingdom. So I'd like to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.